Chelsea, everyone has asked me about her. She is, she's in the United States. Let's say that. She should be in the air right now. She landed ahead of schedule in Dallas, and so she was able to get an earlier flight to Harrison. So she should be, and then the earlier flight got delayed. So, but she should be in the air by now. So, just continue to pray. She continues this trek home. But last week we began talking about expectations, and that our view is often changed due to our expectations, and that how we respond to certain things is often affected by our expectations. And so if we expect something to happen and then it doesn't happen the way that we think it ought to, our view is changed. Where if we don't expect something to happen and then something really good does happen, our view is also changed. Don't lower your expectations, right? Don't lower them. You know, as we were getting closer to Christmas, though, I started thinking about our expectations and the expectations that people had for Jesus and the expectations that they have even now for Jesus, and how the people of this time period and around the Christmas story, though, they had this certain expectation of what the Messiah would be, who he would be, how he would come on the scene. They had this expectation that he would be a king, that he would be a ruler, that he would overthrow Rome, that he would be this military leader, and everyone had a different expectation. And because of that, they missed it completely, because their expectations called for something different than what was actually there. In Luke chapter 2, verse 38, it says, "She came along just as Simeon was talking with Mary and Joseph, and she began praising God, and she talked about the child to everyone who had been waiting expectantly for God to rescue Jerusalem." This was Anna. She was a prophetess in the temple. And when they went with Jesus when he was 8 days old, they went to the temple, and she began telling everyone that was expecting God to rescue Jerusalem that the Messiah is here. They were expecting a military ruler, though, right? A leader, a king that would overthrow Rome, that would rescue Jerusalem through military action. They were looking for a quick fix to a temporary problem, while Jesus was really bringing an eternal fix to an eternal problem. Jesus would rescue Jerusalem, but not the way that they expected him to. He was coming to be the Savior. That's what the angel told Joseph, that he was coming to save Jerusalem. To save his people. And yet, that's not what they were expecting. They wanted a rescuer. They wanted someone to come in with an iron fist and overthrow Rome. They wanted what they had seen throughout the Old Testament, throughout the Judges, where God would bring up this person, this man, this woman that would temporarily save them, and they would be all happy about it for a few years, and then shortly thereafter they would forget and they would do the same thing that they had done time after time. Once again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord because they did evil. And so many times we're looking for God to rescue us from a situation or a circumstance, and we expect him to do it a certain way, and when it doesn't happen the way that we think it ought to, that wasn't God. I remember talking to someone about a ministry opportunity that they were looking at or talking about, and they told me, this is what they said. They said, "Well, we think and we know that we will end up doing something like this, almost exactly like this, but not in this package." Not, they didn't say this package, but I'm giving that. Because they were expecting it to happen, but they wanted it to happen a certain way, at a certain place, at a certain time. And because it didn't fit all the parameters that they thought it should fit, even though it was exactly what God had called them to do, this isn't from God. I just walked away scratching my head going, that's interesting. It's kind of like the story of the guy who shipwrecked on an island, and he was there, and it was a deserted island, a deserted island. And a fishing boat saw the wreckage and came up on him and offered to save him, and he said, "No, God's going to rescue me." And then a cruise ship saw his wreckage and stopped at the island, and he said, "No, God is going to rescue me." And a helicopter flew by and saw his wreckage and landed and asked, and he said, "No, God is going to rescue me." And then he dies and he asks God, "Why didn't you rescue me?" God's like, "I sent a fishing boat, a cruise ship, and a helicopter. What did you want?" But that's the way we are with God sometimes, is because it didn't happen the way we think it should, it must not be what we're waiting on. It gets us to the destination that we've been asking God to get us to, but we wanted to go in a limo, not a bicycle. They were looking for a savior, but they wanted it in a military leader, in a king, not in a savior of their soul. They were expecting a rescuer. Luke chapter 2 verse 1 says, "At the time the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire, and this was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all returned to their own ancestral towns to register for the census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea. And David's ancient home, he traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, who was now expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there were no lodging available for them." No one was looking for Jesus to be born in a barn. They were not looking for a rescuer out of such humble beginnings. This was not a show of kingship or military power that was expected. There wasn't a crowd gathered at his birth. There weren't grandparents gathered around. There weren't friends and aunts and uncles and all those people that come. They weren't there. He had a COVID birth. Nobody's in the hospital but mom and dad. This wasn't what we were expecting. This isn't what we were looking for. He's supposed to be a king. The expectation of a king or a military ruler of all these things Jesus wasn't at the moment caused people to miss what they had. The priests, the teachers, and the religious leaders of the time knew the prophecies that surrounded Jesus, that he would be born in Bethlehem, that he would be born of a virgin, yet not one of them joined the wise men to go check it out. They knew all the information, yet somehow still missed it. In Matthew chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from the eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, 'Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him.' And King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. And he called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law and asked, 'Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?' 'In Bethlehem in Judea,' they said. 'Of this is what the prophet wrote: And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah. For a ruler will come from you, who will be the shepherd of my people Israel.' And then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. And then he told them, 'Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. And when you find him, come back and tell me, so that I too can go and worship him.' After this interview, the wise men went away, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It was ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And when it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod." These wise men from the east, they came looking for the king, for the new king of the Jews. The interesting thing to me is, how did they determine by the star that that was the Hebrew king? I mean, I don't study stars, so I don't know, but they knew. And they asked the question, where is this? Where is the baby? Because they expected a new king would have fanfare, that Herod of all people would know that this new king had been born. So they're asking him. And Herod has no information. He sought counsel. One of the wise men were like, okay, he doesn't know. I guess we missed it. It must be an Ethiopian king instead. Yet despite their expectations not fully being met, they still pursued and followed the star. They realized that they had seen, what they had seen was real. And although the status quo didn't see it, they still pursued after it. Sometimes, you know, I think about these religious leaders and Herod's asking these questions. And they had to know that these wise men had come and they'd seen this star. Why did none of them say, let's go check it out? Let's go look for ourselves. Let's travel with these guys. Why didn't Herod say, let's go with him? Y'all saw this? This is what it says? Let's go figure it out. Sometimes we can have all the information, all the Bible knowledge, and still miss what God is trying to do in our lives. We can allow little things to cloud our vision. We can become so busy doing good things that we can't seem to find the time to pursue him. The wise men were pursuing while the religious people were too focused on what was going on in front of them. They missed the big picture. I've been there. I've been so focused on what's right in front of me that I've missed something huge. Because I was looking right here and not everything around me. They could have seen Jesus. They could have went and met him. They could have done all of these things. But they were so focused on what was at hand and in front of them that they missed it. Matthew 2:16 says, Herod was furious when he realized that the wise men had outwitted him. And he sent soldiers to kill all the boys in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old and under, based on the wise men's report of the star's first appearance. Herod didn't go looking for the new king. He had the opportunity to go with the wise men to see the king, but he didn't. He didn't put much stock into it at the beginning. But rather than finding him, he tried to kill him by having the babies murdered. His expectation was that if this king lives, he'll overthrow our system. He'll disrupt Roman rule. He'll mess up society as we know it. Change things around, right? Then there was this. All of these people are part of this story, right? But then there was a group of people that's in this story that were completely unexpecting. They weren't expecting anything. They weren't expecting a king. They weren't expecting a military ruler. They were just unexpecting people who didn't know that they should be expecting something. Luke chapter 2 verse 8 says, that night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby guarding their flocks of sheep. And suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and their radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. But the angel reassured them, don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger. Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth for those with whom God is pleased. When the angel had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. And they hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept all of these things to heart and thought about them often. And the shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. These guys were just minding their own business. They weren't looking for a king. They weren't looking for a military ruler. They weren't looking for a rescuer. They just wanted to guard their sheep. They weren't expecting a Messiah to be born in their neighborhood. They were just tending sheep. And they were terrified when the angel showed up. It's funny to me that every time an angel shows up, people are terrified, right? But I'm pretty sure if I saw an angel, I'd be terrified too. Right? What am I seeing? What am I seeing? I have a friend, and I probably told this story, but he told me one time, he's like, yeah, I used to pray all the time that I'd see an angel. And he said, I was laying in bed one night, and I had the cover up over my head. I was like, that's weird. But he said, I was praying that God would show me an angel, and he said, I pulled that cover down, and I saw this bright light, and I quickly pulled the cover back over my head. I was scared to death. And God said, that's why I don't show you an angel. You're too afraid to even look out from under the cover. It was just a light in his hallway. But the angel, every time the angel reassures people, right? Don't be afraid. The angel showed up. The angel told them, don't be afraid. He said, the one that would bring great joy to all people was born. And they weren't even looking for it. They weren't expecting anything. Yet they got to see Jesus and got to go experience the joy. And they walked away joyful. Verse 10, he says, don't be afraid. He said, I'll bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. Jesus brings joy, right? These guys walked away and they were full of joy. They were full of joy. It wasn't just something that kind of happened. They were full. They were full of joy, completely full of joy. It wasn't just a little thing. It was a big thing. They were full of joy. Verse 29 says, Sovereign Lord of Luke chapter 2, it says, Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace. This is Simeon speaking on the eighth day. He said, now let your servant die in peace as you have promised. I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is the light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people Israel. And Jesus' parents were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, the baby's mother, this child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall and many others to rise. He has been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him. As a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and the sword will pierce your very soul. Simeon was full of joy when he held Jesus in his arms. He foretold that Jesus would cause disruption in the religious circles, right? He's going to make people mad. He's going to heal people on the Sabbath. He's going to tell a guy, get up and walk on the Sabbath. Stretch out your hand. He's going to make mud because he's going to spit and make mud and put it on someone's eye on the Sabbath. Oh, my word. Can't make mud on the Sabbath. All of these things, he disrupted what they were looking and what they thought should be and how they thought things should happen. But Simeon was full of joy because he had prayed that God would let him see the Messiah. And when he held Jesus in his arms, he knew this is the Messiah. This is the one that was promised. It's right here. This is it. He brought joy to many through healings and miracles that he performed. You know, I'm pretty sure that the people that he raised from the dead's families were pretty excited. I'm pretty sure those guys that he spit in their eyes and made them see were pretty happy about it. I'm pretty sure that the guy that he spit on his tongue and made him be able to talk was pretty happy about it. The guy that he freed from the demons, legion of demons, was pretty excited about it. Everywhere he went, joy followed him. He brought joy to so many. Verse 41 says, this is before Jesus was born. In Luke chapter 1, verse 41, it says, at the sound of Mary's greetings, Elizabeth's child leapt within her, And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary, God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed. Why am I so honored that the mother of the Lord should visit me? When I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. He brought John and Elizabeth joy before he was even born. The name of Jesus can bring joy to expecting and unexpecting. John 15:11 says, I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. He was a beacon of joy throughout his life and his ministry, and even through his death and resurrection, he's continued to be a beacon of joy for many. The expecting and the unexpecting. I think the biggest thing that when I look at the things around Jesus, his birth and the early years and the characters associated with the Christmas story, is this, that I want to be expecting him always. But I don't want to miss, a move of the Holy Spirit. I don't want to miss his coming again, because it comes boxed in a package that I don't expect or that I don't particularly care for. There are times and there are things about church and there are things about Christian circle that I don't really care for, I'll be honest. There are songs that I just don't really like. But I don't want to get so caught up on the things that I don't really care for or I don't really like and miss a move of God because I don't really like that. We sing songs that I'm like, Mary, did you know? Of course she did. The angel told her. That's how I feel about that song. If it's on the radio, I'm turning it off. I'm being honest. But I don't want to miss God because I feel that way about that song. I don't want to miss a moving of the Holy Spirit because I don't really particularly like the style. Or I don't particularly care for the way they did that or this. I want to expect God to move. And I don't want to walk in a service and not expect God to move because it's just another Sunday. I didn't wake up this morning and go, I'm not expecting God to move this morning. I didn't think about that. I was thinking about what could God do in someone's life today, Sabe? Who's going to be there that needs to hear from God today? Not what I have to say, what God has to say. I don't want to miss it because I don't like the package. I don't want to miss it because of unexpected things that creep into my vision and it distracts me. I want to be expecting, but I don't want to be so expecting so much that I miss it. Because it doesn't happen the way I thought it would. This year, I have felt, there have been so many things that have happened this year that I go, well, that's not what I expected. And I would have missed God, James, on multiple occasions this year because it happened in a way that I didn't expect. I don't want to miss it because it's not how I expected. But I also don't want to be so unsuspecting that it catches me off guard. I want to expect it, and I want to not only expect it, but when it begins to happen, I want to live in it. I don't know about you, but we're coming in a time of time of the year that people start expecting certain things, right? We're coming in a time of year that people start not only expecting, but start looking for certain things. And we have an opportunity to share the greatest gift of all, the hope of the gospel. Are we expecting to come into encounter with people? Are we completely unexpected? Are we expecting, and are we going to miss it because we didn't expect to run into someone that might need hope? People are more open to hearing about the gospel this time of year than any other time of the year. And you have the hope. Are you going to be able to share it? Are you going to be like the shepherds when they left and telling everyone? Are you going to be like Anna and telling everyone that's looking for a rescuer about Jesus, the one that can rescue him? Or are you going to be like Herod and the religious leaders and miss it altogether? Ask everyone that would to stand to your feet. Lord, I just thank you today. I thank you for what you're doing in this house, Lord. I thank you for sending your son. For sending your son in such a way. Lord, I thank you for the unexpected people in the story and the ones who were expecting. And Lord, I thank you for sending him, though, and he came and he died on a cross for us, Lord. He didn't stay in the manger. And he didn't stay on the cross. And Lord, we thank you for that. And Lord, I pray that you help us through this time of year, that you help us through this season, and not only now, but throughout our lives, but through this season especially, to share hope with people. The hope of your gospel. Help us to be like Anna, and help us to be like the shepherds that we share with everyone. Help us not to miss it because we're so focused on what's right in front of us. We just thank you. We praise you. We thank you. We praise you this morning. If you're in here and you need God to move in your life, maybe you need hope in a situation. Maybe you need a healing. Maybe you need God to move in a certain circumstance. I want to invite you to come. Maybe you just need help expecting God to move. I want to invite you to come. I want to pray with you. I want to believe with you. Don't miss it this morning. Don't miss it this morning. Lord, I just thank you right now. I thank you right now for what you're doing in this house. Lord, I know that there are people in here that need hope, God. I know there are people in this room that need help, God. They need you to show up and rescue them. And Lord, I just pray that you begin to do that right now. We just thank you today. If you feel led to come and pray for the ones that are here, feel free to do so. These altars are open.